It's time to get down. It's time to get down.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
That guy is crazy.
So glad you could join me on this episode where I'll be talking some rock. I'm going to tell you what's on TV. I'll probably read a couple of your top tens. I'll play you some cool tunes. I've got a concert review for you, and I'm going to be telling you what's going on in the studio with Galactic Cowboys. But let's start it out with some feedback about the last show. And I got one here from new co-champion of the top 10 playoffs, Paul Morgan, who said, "Monty, I am honored and humbled. Big congratulations to my co-champion, Jeffrey Elliott. Never thought I could pull out a double upset, the win and the tie. Ted Nugent playing Cat Scratch Fever was icing on the cake." Well, Paul, I can only imagine the excitement and jubilation that you must be experiencing right now. I don't know what else you've done in your seemingly lengthy life so far, but I'm sure it doesn't even come close to comparing with the accomplishment of winning the top 10 playoffs.
It is unbelievably important.
But you and Jeffrey are both deserving winners, and you'll be receiving your amazing prize package sometime in the next year.
But I wouldn't hold your breath.
However, not everyone was quite so happy about the top 10 playoffs. Former two-time champion John Huff said that, making it to the Final Four was good, but losing in the semis because he's a drummer? Yeah, John basically went on to accuse my top 10 playoffs of being fake. Well, John, I hope you realize that I take great offense to you accusing me of doing anything on this show that is fake. And for you to make accusations that the top 10 playoffs are somehow rigged, well, that's an outrage.
It's always been fake.
All right, well, I am not going to sit here and have the integrity of my show questioned. So instead, I'm just going to move on to some questions.
Good thinking.
And the first one is from Eric in Orange County, who says, "Hey, Monty, I don't know if your current record deal is for more than one album, but do you think that there's a good chance that the label will reissue some or all of the past albums, or maybe just at least a best of or box set?"
The answer is no!
Well, Eric, I really wouldn't know about that at all. I don't know what their plans in the future are other than just putting out our album that we're doing now. I guess that's a possibility, but I know if they did that, they would probably have to go back to Geffen or Metal Blade and work out some kind of deal with them. But it's an interesting idea, Eric, and maybe I'll mention that to them.
Ain't gonna happen.
The next question is from Dan the Man Cunningham, and he says, "Hey, Monty, I was watching a show on bands' biggest issues with event security. And it made me wonder if you or the Galactic Cowboys ever had any run-ins of your own." Event security. Well, Dan, no, I don't think either I or Galactic Cowboys ever had any issues with security. Mainly because we never had anything to worry about. There wasn't exactly anybody ever trying to bust down our dressing room door to get to us.
Aww.
In fact, we were usually hanging out backstage going, God, this is boring. And after we get through playing, still to this day, we just go out into the crowd and hang out.
Losers.
However, there were a few times in the past where I had some trouble myself getting backstage. I'd walk up to the door and there'd be a security guy going, "Oh, hold it right there, buddy. You're going to have to go through the front and pay like everybody else." And I'd say, "But I'm playing." And they'd say, "Well, you're going to need some ID."
I don't care who you are.
Now, my personal favorite story about concert security happened back in the late 80s. And I didn't really have a job at the time, but every now and then I would get a call from the stagehand union. And what I would do is I would go to these concerts or shows around Houston, and I would just go in and help them load out or whatever, stuff like that. And so one day I get a call, and they're like, hey, show up at the arena tonight and bring your tool belt. You're going to do the loadout. And I tell them, okay. And then I check to see who's playing, and it's Prince. And I'm like, oh, cool. Well, I am going to show up way early and catch some of that show. And so that night I drive down there and I park in the arena parking lot, and the show's already going on, but I start walking up and I get to the back door and the guy goes, hey, where are you going? And I say, working, and I point to the tool belt, and the guy's like, okay, go right on in. And so then I go walking through the backstage area, and there's a cop standing there, and he looks at me, and I just point to the tool belt. And he just nods and waves me on through. And I end up walking all the way through into the arena where I sit on a road case for the rest of the show. And it was great. But not a single person had stopped me to get any kind of ID just because I had a tool belt that contained a hammer.
Dumbest story ever.
Of course, these days everything has changed with security. I mean, it's the biggest pain in the butt to get into a concert that you've ever seen. You have to go through metal detectors and then go down a hallway and get a wristband. And there was one show where they actually wouldn't let me in with the belt that I was wearing. And no, it wasn't a tool belt. It was just the kind that hold your pants up.
I'm outraged.
And speaking of shows, Lindsay and I attended a good one the other night when we went to see Bring Me the Horizon. And if you've never heard of Bring Me the Horizon, it's probably because you're over 30 and you hate that kind of music.
Yes!
I know that it's probably considered metalcore or emo or something that the kids like, but I'll tell you whose kids don't like it, and that's mine. My daughter Zoe is into show tunes and opera, and my stepkids have no interest in rock or metal at all. And I'm at the show, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing all these high school kids, and I turned to Lindsay, and I said, where did we go wrong? When I was that age, I wasn't allowed to listen to rock and roll, and yet you and I have raised those kids on Pantera, Metallica, and every kind of satanic metal that there is, and yet there's no interest. So I'm deeply disappointed in all of them, I'm just saying. But we do our best as parents, and really that's all you can do. So Lindsay and I continue to leave the kids at home and go to these concerts by ourselves. And wow, was this ever a great show. Under Oath opened, and I've liked them for a long time, but Bring Me the Horizon came out and blew me away.
You can run, but you'll never escape.
Over and over.
You know, when I go to see a band, I go to see them play, and I don't care about all the special effects and lights and all that. But I gotta say, after seeing Bring Me the Horizon, God, what a great stage show. They had the big, cool video screens going on, and they were blasting us with confetti. And I just bounced around and was banging my head through the whole show. And, you know, if my kids don't like it, well, screw them.
You're just a bad parent.
Okay, time now for a little What's on TV. And I'll start out by talking about a show that I picked as best TV show of last year. And that would be The Walking Dead. And I don't know if it's because I binged watched the first six seasons or if this show's just gotten really crappy this season, but God, I hate it now. Week after week, I just sit there and go, God, will something please happen? I mean, how many times can you see a zombie get stabbed in the head?
Well, I'd say 10.
On the other hand, if you want to see a really good series, go to Netflix and watch Bates Motel all the way through. It's based on the movie Psycho, but there's really nothing that scary about it. It's just a really good story with some really good actors, and the writing is really good. Then again, I'm the kind of guy that enjoys Duck Dynasty, so what can I tell you?
You're a moron.
As far as music shows, well, I watched the Classic Rock Awards, and that was pretty pointless because they gave out stuff like Classic Songwriting Award to Richie Sambora. And they had Phil Collin from Def Leppard play a Def Leppard song.
Okay.
But the worst thing of the night was at the end when they had this big jam of Train Kept Rollin' with Joe Perry and Johnny Depp. And Johnny Depp tried to play a guitar solo that was really hideous, and he finally just turned his back to the crowd and walked by his amp and just was like, oh God, I'm so embarrassed. But at least Joe Perry and Rudolph Schenker and the drummer from Korn were up there.
Very cool.
Unfortunately, none of them knew how to end the song.
Not cool.
So, needless to say, I will not be keeping that on my DVR.
I guess not.
Now, has anyone seen this show on the AXS channel called The World's Greatest Tribute Bands?
I think I have seen that, yes.
I wouldn't say it's good, but I have to tell you about it.
Do it!
About 8 years ago, I actually tried out for an AC/DC tribute band. I thought it'd be fun, but I did not make the cut. Apparently, I was not what KC/DC was looking for. But since then, I've kind of had to wonder, why does anyone really want to see a tribute band? But apparently a lot of these bands are really popular, as is the case with Damage Inc., a Metallica tribute band. And I gotta say, the guy that played James Hetfield looked just like him and played just like him. And the band as a whole was really good. I mean, they sounded exactly like Metallica. But to me, if you're going to do the whole tribute thing, you got to really look like them. And the bass player looked nothing like the bass player. And Lars, you couldn't really see him. But from what I could tell, looked nothing like Lars. However, while they were playing, they would flash these little messages up on the screen that would tell a little bit about the band, Damage Inc. And as it turns out, they play constantly, they make money, and they appear to have about three times as many endorsements as Galactic Cowboys.
Go!
So obviously, if I'll watch Duck Dynasty or World's Greatest Tribute Bands, I'll watch just about anything for a few minutes. So one night, I'm sitting there flipping through the channels, and I come upon this country guy playing at Red Rocks in Colorado. And I don't even remember who it was, but he must be pretty big because the place was packed out. And I'm thinking, wow, Red Rocks must be really awesome to play at. It looks so cool. I've never played there, I've never gone to a show there, but I've always wanted to. And I was sitting there thinking all of this when all of a sudden Lindsay walks in, and it was like she'd caught me watching a porno movie, because she was like, what are you doing? And I start fumbling for the remote, and I'm like, I'm just watching the man play country. And she's like, yeah, why? And I was like, I don't know. It just came on. It'll never happen again.
Yeah, sure.
So a little advice to all the guys out there. If you're going to watch CMT Channel or an Alan Jackson concert, you might want to lock the door.
Shame on you!
Now, I know it sounds like I'm wasting a lot of time watching TV, but in fairness, I'm usually working on a painting or something while I'm doing it, so I'm not a complete bum.
Yes, you are.
But the thing I'm watching the most here lately is YouTube. I told you on a previous episode that I finally figured out that I could watch YouTube on my TV. And just like with all this technology, you find it very addicting. And I'm just on there all the time now trying to find concerts and music videos. And of course, back in the 80s and 90s, we had MTV for this. And we just thought it was awesome. You could just sit there all day and watch the Backstreet Boys sing a ballad while they got drenched with rain. Or Fine Young Cannibals sing, "You drop me crazy."
It's just wonderful stuff.
For a while, they had Headbangers Ball, and you could see all kinds of thrash metal for 2 hours a week every Saturday. But then they started pushing the Poison and the Warrant, and after a while, all the thrash went away. And then they replaced the hair metal with grunge, and after a while, Headbangers Ball went away completely. But that wasn't good enough for them. Eventually, MTV replaced all the music with reality shows. And so I just quit watching MTV for years. But I see they're still around, because the other day when I was channel surfing, I saw that they were playing a marathon of Saved by the Bell. And I don't need to see that. I mean, really, I've already seen every episode at least two or three times.
I love it!
So thank God for YouTube. It's become the new MTV. You can see any video you want by your favorite bands anytime you want. And recently, I started searching for concert footage from bands that I used to like in the 70s.
He's old!
Yeah, that's right, I'm old.
How many years are you?
Well, I'll tell you how old. When I was in high school, I played on the basketball team, and dunking was illegal.
What?
Yeah, I'm not making this up. It's not a joke. We had a guy on our team that was 6'11", and he had to just kind of drop the ball in. He couldn't dunk it. Because if you dunked it, you got a technical. So therefore, I never dunked it. Not that I could, but, you know, if I could have, I couldn't have.
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense.
Anyway, all that to say, I'm old, and some of my favorite bands back then were Wishbone Ash, The Outlaws, UFO, Thin Lizzy. And you can find full live concerts from all those bands on YouTube. And granted, the video quality isn't very good, and neither is the audio. But it's still pretty cool, because there's a lot of bands I never got to see back then, like Boston. And I've always wondered, you know, their albums always sounded so perfect, and the vocals were always so good, but what did they sound like live? And so I found one of their shows, I think it was from 76 or 77, and it was in Giant Stadium, I think, in New Jersey. And I watched it, and I gotta say, I was really impressed. They were really good back then. Brad Delp sang great, and the background vocals were on key. And this is what I found with a lot of those older classic bands. They just really knew how to play live. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I ought to play a live Boston song. But then I thought, no, this is the Rock Cast. I don't want to hear something that everyone's heard a billion times, like More Than a Feeling. So I'm going to play something that's a little more rare, the way I like my steak. They had a song called Television Politician that I don't believe they ever recorded in the studio, but they did it live. And I heard this song way back when, on the King Biscuit Flower Hour. Remember that?
No.
And I finally hunted it down on the internet a couple years ago. And so here it is, Television Politician by Boston. So that's some live Boston, and God, Tom Scholz was such a genius, and he still is, I guess. But think about it. The dude not only wrote great songs, he invented a guitar sound. And I've always been amazed that he could do that, but he did it. And so did Eddie Van Halen. And there was just some wild creativity going on in the 70s.
This was decades ago.
Speaking of killer guitar tones, one of my favorites, believe it or not, has always been Wolf Hoffman's from Accept. And they're another one of those bands I never got to see live in person. And so I went on YouTube the other day and caught one of their festival shows in Europe. And it was recorded in the last couple years, so they are still around. And people in Europe still dig them. And Wolf still has the killer tone. Now, I still remember Accept from the Balls to the Wall video, and I really hadn't seen much of them since then. And I knew they had a different singer now, but I didn't know what he looked like. And he turned out to be this guy that looks a little bit older, and he looks like he's kind of got a mullet, and he wears a baseball hat on stage. And I'm really not one to tell people what to do. But I would strongly suggest that he get rid of the baseball cap and just shave his head. I mean, you can do what you want, but I would at least shave the mullet off. Because the only guys that look cool these days with a mullet are playing hockey.
True that.
Now, another thing that I like to do on YouTube is discover new bands or check out stuff that I really don't know much about. For instance, I'd always heard of this band Abath or something like that. They're black metal. And so I checked out a couple of their songs and determined that they suck.
I think that is mean.
But of course, on YouTube, there's always those suggestions for other stuff that you might like. And so I decided to try some Behemoth. And once again, it's this scary black metal stuff from Sweden, and I ended up watching a whole concert. And though black metal isn't really my favorite genre, I gotta say, it was very entertaining. I'm still probably not gonna sit down and listen to one of their albums all the way through, but if given the choice between seeing them or Slayer, I'm gonna go Behemoth.
They are of the devil.
I also found something on YouTube that you musicians out there might really like. It's called Rig Roundup. And on each episode, they go through guitar player's whole setup. And they show you what kind of amps he uses and the settings. They go through their entire pedal board. And they'll show you their guitars and basses. And they ask them questions like, what kind of pickups do you use? And it's just really interesting. And, you know, you might pick up some tips. Like, I wanted to find out what kind of stuff Adam D. from Killswitch Engage used, and I did. And I watched the episode with Kerry King and Scott Ian, and they're just very informative.
It seems to me to be very, very boring.
So that's something for the musicians, but if you're just a regular person that likes rock and roll, and you don't mind something that's a little bit vulgar once in a while, well, may I suggest Steel Panther. They've got full concerts on YouTube, interviews, and it's some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen. And why do I like Steel Panther so much? It's because they're making fun of all that douchey late 80s hair metal glam rock that I hated so much. Hi-ya! And no, I didn't despise all the music completely. I actually liked Rat. But the whole let's do drugs and bang strippers thing just really annoyed me.
Oh!
It had very little to do with music, and it just cheapened the whole metal genre. And so now when I see or hear Steel Panther making fun of all those posers, it just delights me. Speaking of which, Steel Panther has a brand new album out. It's called Lower the Bar. Let's check it out. So I've talked a lot about some of the stuff I watch on YouTube. Well, coincidentally, Matt in KC sent me a top 10 list of his top 10 YouTube channels for killing time. And it starts out at number 10 with Galcow TV. And he likes it because it allows him to see old concert footage of one of his all-time favorite bands, Galactic Cowboys. And he says it would be higher up on the list if it had more than two videos.
That's so pathetic.
Yeah, well, I actually have a whole lot of bootleg footage in my closet that no one's ever seen. So maybe we'll put that out someday.
It's not very likely.
Number 9 on Matt's list is the OK Go channel. He says their music doesn't do much for him, but their videos are pretty freaking amazing. Yeah, I actually like that one that they did on the treadmills. That was really cool.
I have not seen it.
Number 8 is Auntie Fee, I guess it is, a foul-mouthed woman who does great cooking videos. Number 7 is a video channel called Vivo. Number six is a channel about the band Ghost called Not a Nameless Ghoul. Number five is called Ewan John Covers. It's a young British kid who does cool covers of Pink Floyd and other bands. Number four is the Aaron O'Keefe channel, and he's a music instructor whose students play contemporary metal songs. And yeah, maybe that's the one I've seen where these kids are playing like Dream Theater and shit like that. It's amazing.
Duh.
All right, moving along. Number three is Techmoan. And Matt says it's a British guy who does detailed reviews of defunct and vintage audio and video equipment. Okay, nerd alert, nerd alert. Number two is Weebo Reacts. And apparently this is a channel where a kid in Georgia watches music videos and reacts to them.
That is so incredibly exciting.
All righty. And finally, at number one on Matt's list of his favorite YouTube channels to kill time with, it's called Facts. Irish people try different foods, watch things, react to things. Hilarity ensues. All right. Good job, Matt. I really like that list, actually.
It is a waste of time.
And Matt's actually a good friend of mine. We're taking our wives to go see Iron Maiden and Ghost this summer. And he's just a really good guy.
And he's beloved by many.
All right, I think I'll move on to something else now. And since I haven't talked about my band Galactic Cowboys in about 5 minutes, I think I'll give you a Galactic Cowboys studio update.
Whoop-dee-doo!
So I flew down to Houston, Texas again recently, where we continued to work on the new GC album. And this time we recorded all of my bass and all of my vocal tracks. And I was down there for a week, and the first couple of days, it was mainly just me and Ben doing vocals and singing for about 8 hours a day. And then the next 3 days, we recorded my bass parts, and of course, that sounds really easy. You'd think that we just go in there and hit record, and I play through everything, and it's done. But my sound's a little out there, and my setup's a little more complicated than your average bass player. And once you get in the studio, you start hearing every little thing. And when you're just playing live, it's not that big a deal. You know, you got all that distortion flying around and, you know, you just don't pay any attention. But this time, I got everything hooked up and, you know, we started hearing some fret buzz and all this kind of crap and kind of slowed things down. And part of it is that we've got all these songs on this album that are tuned way down, like to B and C. And it sounds really heavy and great and all that, but Alan kept hearing one of my strings kind of flapping around, buzzing off the fret. And so we had to take some time and fix that. But the solution was when Alan went into his kitchen and found a couple of toothpicks. And he just stuck them under a couple of strings up by the nut, and it fixed it. And so after that, we were off and running. And I was real happy with the bass sound I got this time. For the majority of it, I used my Zahn 4-string, and we mic'd a low-end cabinet, and we also ran a direct line. And then Alan also mic'd up a 412 Marshall with my Mesa Boogie rectifier. And that gave me the nasty, high-end, ringing distortion of death.
Brutal!
I also used a brand new bass that I just bought. It's an LTD 8-string. We had a couple of slower songs that were just begging for some 8-string on it, so I did that. And I was just really pleased with the way everything was sounding together. And you never know when you're writing this stuff, you know, you wonder if it's all going to turn out like you want. But by the time I left there, I was just like, wow, what are we going to leave off of this album? We recorded 13 songs so far, and I just love them all. They all rock, and yet they're all so catchy and melodic. There are tunes that will beat your face in, and yet there's other songs that I could hear on the radio as they beat your face in. Ben's singing great, Alan's doing a great job recording it, and Alan did some stuff on drums this time that I didn't know he could do. I mean, he goes from playing like Ringo one minute to Vinnie Paul the next. But like I've said before, Alan is just such a talented musician. He does all this stuff for Galactic, but then he'll go out on the weekends and play bass and sing lead vocals for a cover band. So we're in extremely good hands with Alan Doss at the control board. And we're probably a month or so away from having it mixed and mastered, but I cannot wait to get this thing done and have people hear it.
All right, enough on your stupid band.
Let's move on now with another email, and this one comes from Jimmy G in Chicago. And I love Jimmy G because he always sends me great stuff. And by great stuff, I mean things that I can talk about on the show. And this time, he sent me a whole bunch of random thoughts and questions. And the first one is sports gambling. Hey, Monty, do you ever bet on sports? And if so, do you ever win? And the answer is no. I love sports, Jimmy, but I virtually never bet on sports because I virtually never win at anything. In fact, I'm pretty much the most unlucky person on earth.
Really?
Well, except for the wife department. I got pretty lucky there.
True.
Yeah, you did.
Next, Jimmy wants to know what I think of March Madness. He says, I put $10 in a pool and won $50. But Monty, did you ever fill out a bracket for March Madness, and how did you do?
These are not hard questions.
Well, Jimmy, once again, I rarely do that because I rarely win at anything. But I did actually enter a pool probably about 10 years ago when Kansas was in it, and I picked them to win, and they did, and I won about $180. The problem I have with filling out an NCAA tournament bracket is that I get too upset about it. I'll find myself watching two teams that I could care less about, like New Mexico State against Princeton, and I'll find myself screaming at the TV. And so I finally just stopped filling out brackets altogether, and now I find that I enjoy the games a little bit more. I can just sit back and watch and not care. Because trust me, if I start rooting for a team, I guarantee they will lose. And yes, I was rooting for Gonzaga. Let's see, Jimmy also wants to know if I take days off to watch the games during March Madness. And yeah, I've been known to do that. I try to make sports a priority in my life.
That's attractive.
And speaking of sports, Jimmy had a few questions relating to baseball. And he wants to know what my forecast is for the current baseball season.
I literally don't care.
Well, I do follow baseball, but the only team that I really live and die with is the Kansas City Royals.
I have never cared.
But the problem with being a Kansas City Royals fan is that we are in a small market, and they don't have the money to go out and buy superstars and bring them in like a lot of teams like Boston and the Dodgers. And so we just have to draft them and wait till they get really good. And once they become all-stars, then they leave. And it looks like that's what's going to happen by the end of this year. We're going to lose all of our great players. But we had a good run. We went to the World Series twice, and it was awesome. But they did trade my favorite player, Wade Davis, to the Cubs. And so now I'll have to get a new jersey. And I'll also have to find a new favorite player.
This is a tragedy.
Next, Jimmy has a question about me being in the studio with Galactic Cowboys. He says, Monty, I saw some video of you smiling like a kid on Christmas morning while you were tweaking. tweaking a new Mesa Boogie guitar amp. Care to comment on the perceived happiness? Well, it's always exciting to get a new piece of equipment, like a new amp or something. And I had my old one stolen from me about, it's been about 17 years now. And I've always wanted to replace it, but I just never had the money. And so when we got signed, I said, you know, I'm going to do it. It's time. But the perceived happiness is about a lot of things right now. It's awesome to be recording and making music again. I've got a good woman, and I'm pretty happy in general.
Goody for you.
Jimmy also had a musician question, and he wanted to know my opinion on guitar and bass pickups. Hey, Monty, do you like active or passive?
You don't know, do you?
Well, I gotta be honest, Jimmy. I will play either. But most of the basses that I own have active pickups in them. And if I'm gonna buy a new bass, that's just something I look for. So, yeah, I'm gonna go with active as my final answer.
Does your band even play anymore?
And finally, Jimmy says, hey, Monty, perhaps now is not a good time since GC is preparing a new album and Facebook should be part of a marketing campaign. But have you ever said enough is enough and logged off Facebook for a period of time? Well, that's a great question, Jimmy. I've got numerous thoughts on Facebook. For one thing, like you said, it's a great marketing tool. It's nice to be able to let people know about my podcast and about the new Galactic Cowboy album. And it's a nice way to connect sometimes with friends and fans. And then there's other times when I think, God, I wish Facebook didn't even exist. Everybody is so obsessed with it, they've got to let everybody know everything that's going on in their lives every single day at all times. And it starts the minute they wake up. It's like, hey, I'm having coffee. Hey, here's a really bad picture of myself with sleep in my eyes. Hey, I'm driving to work. Hey, here's a picture of my lunch. And before you know it, it's time to go to bed and they're still looking at their phones. Now, I've said this before, but I need to say it again. Something that drives me crazy on Facebook is when my wife leaves me a sweet personal message and then somebody comments on it before I can. If you want to leave something douchey like, hey, get a room, or you want to let me know how undeserving I am to have her, or say that you saw Galactic Cowboys open for King's X back in the 90s, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. But would you at least be considerate enough to let me comment first before you start flirting with her or telling her she's hot?
Yeah.
I mean, who does that? She's obviously married and she's sending me a message and yet you feel compelled to go, dang, woohoo!
Yeah!
How about you just stick to insulting me? Which people really do seem to love on Facebook. Ever since the invention of the internet, for some reason, everybody has suddenly grown big, enormous, giant balls. And they all of a sudden feel free to say all kinds of things about you that they ordinarily wouldn't if you were in front of them. I've read people say derogatory things about my hair, my face, my clothes, my voice. And a few weeks ago, I even saw some guy on Facebook tell everybody that I'm an atheist. Oh, well, that's nice to find out, jackass. I did not know that. I may not know what I believe anymore, but I know I'm not an atheist. So instead of judging me, how about you just mind your own business and worry about yourself?
You're a sinner. You're going to hell.
So have I ever just thought about dropping off Facebook completely? Well, no, not really. I still enjoy it once in a while, and there's some really good people on there. But anymore, I try to limit the amount of time that I waste on there, because I'm like anybody. If I get on there and start reading status updates, before you know it, I've blown hours. Because you know as well as I do, some of the things that people post are both entertaining and at times eye-rolling. So I've decided to end today's show with a segment that a lot of people seem to enjoy. It's called Facebook Status Updates. And these are actual things that I have read on Facebook as I wasted my life. And so I hope you like it. Let me know what you thought of the show. If you want to get a hold of me, you can do so on Facebook or at my website, MontyColvin.net. And while you're there, please check out my merchandise. I've got my solo CDs for sale, and if you want to show your support for the show, buy yourself a Rockcast t-shirt. It will be very, very appreciated. Thanks so much for listening. I will be back soon with more fun and excitement, but until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and...
Rock on.
To be all you can be, you must dream of being more. I have a headache so bad that it hurts to fart. You will not find God in any religion. You will find Him when you exclusively seek Him out. I threw up in a porta potty at a Winger concert back in 1988. We didn't have internet then, so I'm telling you now. Just found out that I didn't get the job that I applied for. Super bummed out. I really need a night where you laugh so hard that you piss yourself. I have lots to be thankful for. God is in control. I swear to God, I will pistol whip the next guy who says Katy Perry. If your profile pic is of you shirtless, flexing your muscles, you might be a douchebag. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo, happy, happy, time to shine. I'm sick as a dog and I can't move unless I puke. I hate that nervous feeling you get that won't go away, like something bad is going to happen. I didn't sleep at all last night worrying. I worried about the stuff I know, and I worried harder about the stuff that I didn't know. Might have to knock my ass out tonight. My boss hates it when I shorten his name to Dick, especially since his name is Steve. Have you ever started reading a long Facebook thread and halfway through you went, "Wait, what the hell am I doing? I don't give a rat's ass about this." I now own a machete. Shit's about to get real. And by shit, I mean yard work. I have so much to say, so many thoughts to share, so very many things to tell you. But I've also got loads and loads of apathy, so it ends here.
The end.